Welcome back to my podcast, What She Wants. I'm your host, Mandy, and this freak show is what I call my life. Welcome to the season kickoff, officially season 3. It is going to be amazing, y'all. In the time that I've been ghosted, I have accomplished so many things, and I can't wait to tell you all about them. I mean, I went to DC, I'm on my way to Phoenix. There's some big things that are transpiring here. So thank you for joining me. The love you guys have shown for me in this season kickoff is overwhelming. I appreciate it so much. And a big shout out to those who signed up for user accounts on hotsandcots.org. Your support means the world to me. And I can't believe the phenomenal response I've gotten since the launch. I'm so happy. See, I wrote this on 12/31/23, so 1-2-3, 1-2-3. And I liked it because I saw the power in numbers. And 1-2-3, 1-2-3 is like a year of growth and climbing. And I know that this season is the beginning of something big, super big, like better than new year, new you. We'll be more connected to our self-awareness and our awareness of the world around us and all the people in it. So let's get started. Today we're going to dive into a topic that's close to my heart, and that's the journey of reconciling knowledge and experience. It often feels like there's a battle within yourself, like two different opinions existing in your own brain. And you're constantly contemplating to see which one is going to thrive and which one is going to be beat down. And that's what we're exploring today. The battle between what we've been taught versus what really is. And how that applies to lessons in our futures. Now, navigating my two main characters, the squares and the hoods, that's the two voices in my head. One's a square white girl and the other is a gangster ass hood rat. I mean, like a lily white flower of society and a penitentiary bound Vic serving alphabet sentencing. I mean, these two girls believe in extreme opposite viewpoints. One has had to face the evil of the world swinging, while the other one was spoon-fed every answer to be regurgitated on demand. It's the balance of who gives a fuck I'm doing me and perfect by the book moves. The square white girl believed the people around her so much so that she never cared to take the mask off of herself or them. A blind trust given to people due to relation or neighbors or fellows at church. And a streetwise girl who knows that the truth in Scooby-Doo is that all the monsters are truly just everyday people. The square white girl is how I was raised, to be a perfect student, a sense of duty to my family, my church, my community, to give of myself in the name of love, and to trust anyone who looked like me, dressed professionally, to believe that a title from your career meant that you had achieved something special and should be praised for it, similar to a superhero in a white coat or a uniform. My soul sister, on the other hand, she was born from the relationships with women through my years who lifted me up when I was down and gave me back my power when I needed to stand up for myself. She taught me how to love myself, especially in the face of my haters, how to dance and not give a fuck who's watching, how to use dancing to learn how to listen to my body and be able to recognize each muscle group and organ, which in turn taught me to love myself and my body as is without the care of others' opinions. She taught me not to shy away from the bad side of life, but instead face it head on like a warrior. Both girls are very relevant in how I make decisions in my life. I see both ladies standing on my shoulders, giving me good advice in both ways. You see, both ladies are right and wrong, My journey this year is about balancing them and taking away the best of both worlds in how I make my moves and decisions this year. I'm reflecting on us and doing all the things that I love to do, finding passion and unconditional love in every moment of my day, especially when I'm looking at the butthole blowout of a pent-up trucker as my work task list. For me to truly balance myself and these two halves of my home, I did what comes easy. I made a list. All the things about each lady that I love and the shit I wish she'd stop doing. A balance that will allow me to find peace and bring peace. I mean, I know how I got here. All the trauma that I had to face, the numerous times I had to live and learn, starting at square one so many times that I thought that was my home now. Like, hi, I'm Mandy. I live at square one, stuck in the fucking mud. But this past year has shown me the growth I've made in forward directions. I left square one, and now I journey down a new road of excitement and adventure with knowledge that allows me to appreciate the journey. Although every adventure may not seem that exciting and fun while you're living in it, living in the moment, most of the time it looks like a difficult situation that must be overcome. Like, how did I get to this point in my enlightenment? The whole journey of this human experience is being able to navigate based on what you've already done. Isn't that weird? That we can only understand this shit by looking back? Just don't look too hard and get stuck in the past. Glance long enough to see the good moments and learn from the mistakes in order to grow within myself. This is where the two ladies in my head were given life. Those eternal voices helping me to navigate the future by building off the past. I've been so blessed in my adventure to travel across the United States and at one point abroad. My travel didn't fit the image of a jet sitter or even a retired couple glamping. As a kid, it was someone else's trip that I was blessed to be a part of. And when I did it for myself, it was cheap, rusty, and old. The views all looked the same, with money and without. There was a difference, but it's not what you're thinking. God created something truly gorgeous for us to admire Him in. The morning sun as it peeks over the mountaintops, the calming softness of the sound of waves kissing the shoreline. I've been taken on an adventure that has shown me the beauty, not only in nature, but also in humanity. The warmth of love, the softness of an embrace, a hearty hug, and the true evil that exists in the hearts of man, lying behind two faces to fool us. As I've had these experiences, I began to notice that what I thought I was going to be facing based on what I was taught about these situations was nothing like what I was actually experiencing. It was far worse because I was taught to trust too blindly. Worse because the systems of infrastructure and the commercials for the programs don't match up. Even worse than I could have imagined because I began to recognize that the prosecutions of sin under the color of law is arbitrary. And the decision on how you will be treated is as simple as what you look like. Who people think you are. All shit rolls downhill, so the judgment standard comes from the creme de la creme of our society. We've built a place where if we don't know how to do it, then no one else does either, because no one can be smarter than ourselves. A place where we say out of our mouths one thing and expect everyone to abide by these beliefs but ourselves. For we are the exception to our own rules. I've watched the men we were taught to trust without question destroy a person's life and livelihood, because they had the authority granted to them under the guise of safety and security. And I have turned to those I was taught to be scared of, because they're the scum of our society in my times of need. I can't sit by and tell myself a lie any longer. I'm not okay with the world I see around me, nor my place in it. I can't idly sit by and consciously know better and not do anything while the whole world falls apart. It's become a war within myself. How do I fix a situation that seems beyond repair? How can I possibly be okay with the thought, knowing that I strive to be the best for my kids, to teach the best and give them a better chance in this world, knowing that there are problems I can fix, but I'm not? These two bitches in my head have gotten so loud about it, I can't sleep. They keep me awake, urging me to do something, anything. But who am I to change anything in this world? Some stranger brought to you because she had no friends and wanted to vent her personal frustrations? My Bertha was an amazing truck who took us through deserts, gorges, valleys, woods, rural areas, and major cities. The situations that come with traveling are more often than not mechanical. Dragging up in the middle of a desert town 50 miles from bumfucked Egypt on a flat tire you've been driving through the hot, dry terrain on, and have a man see your problem. A complete stranger. Before you can get out the truck, he's walking your way to tell you that what you need to fix the problem is sitting at his house. He will actually come back with the very item that you need. He'll even help you fix the problem. No bullshit, no judgment, just the simple acceptance of the problem and how to fix it in its easiest manner possible. And then I look at the world around me, and that's when these two bitches in my head, and they look around, knowing that shit don't add up, and start their bullshit with amazement. They try to convince me that all of humanity is dead and gone, that people aren't to be trusted, or the measure of their intelligence or generosity is limited to their zip code and appearance. Humanity is not a dead concept, however. People have been told to live in fear of each other instead of bonding together to keep everyone moving forward. And that's where the major breakdown begins to happen. Seeing some humans as having more value and others being less than human. We collectively feel a breakdown in our world. Our politics, our economy, our social experience, they're all falling apart around us. My soul sister noticed that not one big shot, all-knowing, most valuable human has stepped up to the plate to save us. Here we sit, all of humanity collectively waiting on someone else to swoop down to save the day. They have told us the damsel in distress and knight in shining armor scenario so much that we believe this is how real life works. At this point, one would be tempted to believe the rumors of Disney and grooming just because of this revelation, not realizing that at the end of the day, we are the only ones who can save ourselves. No one is coming in a cape and spandex to save us. Do we even know what we need saving from? Do we know what to be prepared for? I mean, I look around the world and I see penitentiary life coming for us all. Yes, even you, Karen. We all see a life of lockdown coming and don't even know what to do to prevent it. Some of us aren't even going to survive if it comes down to it. We all claim to want change, that we'd be willing to lay down our lives for the principles of freedom that we hold in fake endearment. All the while, no one wants the ugly of that fight. Of course, that comes with being a despicable person, the bad guy. None of us wants to be the bad guy on purpose. Those who are labeled as the bad guys were done so because their sins outed them. The problem in this stands to reason that we're all the bad guys. Every one of us commits sin. Scamming, lying, cheating, greedy, lustful sin. There are some of us who have become comfortable being the bad guy and owning up to our sinning nature. We speak to God more often than giving credit for, begging Him for a better way than the dirt we are about to have to do. We are the ones who sit alone in the ugly of ourselves, feeling some type of way, while praying that somehow we can be forgiven. The ones exiled to the desert to roam aimlessly to find that pure relationship of peace within ourselves. It leaves me to wonder how any of the do-gooders of the world expect to survive when the very people who work in industries designed to attain their every need falls to shambles. There won't be any managers to complain to. Every aspect of our lives will be every man for himself. I mean, in all actuality, how many of us know how to do practical shit? And by practical, I'm speaking of surviving on the most scarce of resources. Practical shit is knowing how to see a resource in the most obscure random object. Where one might see a rusty piece of trash, another may see the key to building a revolutionary machine. As I survey the landscape of the world around me, I know the group of people that are going to survive this. I do. And I'm afraid for the parts of our community that think they're so fucking smart and they are dumb as a box of rocks. The rude awakening is going to come when they need to reconcile their halves, because they don't have fluidity. The parts of our community who were protected from the ugly, unsugar-coated parts of the world instead of being thrown into face it, practicing the fight of the warrior. Those who were protected from the building of the tough skin needed to sustain life after their luxuries have all depleted. Will have a difficult time adjusting to the future that lay ahead. It will become the great flip of society. No amount of money will be able to save any one of us, as currency will have a new name, and it could be called water, or maybe even bread. I believe the country has left the building like Elvis. So I think we need to get a jump start on the pulse of the people, because for what I can see, we the people is a concept that is on life support, and the powers that be are trying to pull the plug. If we truly want to control the great reset coming, then we must first control the way in which we see the world around us. We can no longer sit back and desire to not think about the stressful parts of this world. We are no longer on autopilot waiting for someone else somewhere else to give us instructions on what to think and how to feel. Before we can come off of autopilot, we must take a look at how we've been judging each other, how we've been laxed in our own self-disciplines, how we've lost the treasures, the true measures of a man. Surely the size of his dick won't matter when society is crumbling. Accountability is the word of the day. My question is, how can we hold a person accountable when we ourselves refuse to be accountable for our own actions? If I'm going to reconcile myself, then we are going to reconcile ourselves. Right now, we're all on trial. They're trying us to see what we're going to do, how we're going to react. And I know that life has its trials and tribulations. But the government is literally trying us. They're asking us if we want to boot up. They're telling us, boot up or shut up. Either way, we're going into penitentiary life. And we're going to do what they say, unless we sit down collectively with our arms folded in the largest collective toddler tantrum history has ever recorded. Right now, headlines on social media are showing us the power of standing together as countries in Europe band together to say enough is enough. Yet in America, we're still pretending that the perfect life exists with our 2.5 kids and our white picket fence, magically singing alongside a choreographed dance routine. Penitentiary life is not defined as being behind bars, but rather the confines of rules and regulations that exist in the free world. Quotations there. What we are allowed to do and what we aren't allowed to do. When the riots of 2020 set off, we collectively had an opportunity to change the course we were are headed down as a society. Half of us wanted to burn out the very entities feeding the destruction in our communities. The other half cried for the favor of our abusers. The latter half had no contemplation whatsoever, only the regurgitated stands of what is considered right and wrong. This is where the difficult part of this conversation lies. What will be right and wrong when the powers that be have us starving to death, living in whatever shelter we can camouflage to protect ourselves? Will killing no longer be a prosecutable sin? Will theft become a necessary daily routine in order to gain a crumb? Will we arbitrarily change the tune of the American song because it suits the needs of our current circumstances? Or will we cry out about how that activity is still the ultimate moral sin? Will we have to be willing to tough out the hard times together, building an existence we collectively call for, to live in a safe place, eat good, live long, and love my world and my place in it. I want this thought. I want to add this thought to the conversation. If we know that an existence is coming that will force violence upon us as a human population and we do nothing but pray, we are all murderers. And that will be the heaviest sin to sit on our souls because we knew how to prevent it and stood by idly. What was that old saying Mama used to tell us? Idle hands. Something about idle hands. Idle hands are the what? Damn, I wish I could remember that ending. I bet my bottom dollar that 8 out of 10 people will do what they're told. After all, we're required from birth to do as we're told. We must do what our parents say, even when we don't agree with it. When we should be taught to practice our own decision-making skills with guidance from our parents and elders. We're required to do what our teachers and principals say, even if the topic they're teaching is against everything we realize in ourselves to be true, like some guy discovered the whole continent, including the people who already lived on the land. We must participate in the curricula that some distant entity sets for us, even though we realize through the journey of becoming parents and grandparents that that curricula is dumbing down our future generations. Yep. When we make complaints to the proper authorities, the words fall on deaf ears, and we, the people of the community, sit by idly and watch the destructions of ourselves and the very people that we claim to love. The job requirements with managers saying, just do the work, believing that at the end of the sacrifice will be the reward worthy of our own self-worth. Only to find the requirement of more sacrifice. We believe that if they appear in person at church every Sunday, then they instantly qualify as a good person. Yet the very people who claim to be our superheroes are the ones who are quietly destroying our communities, and we give them the free pass to behave in any manner they so choose. Because we will stand in their corner screaming about how they're a so-called good person because we go to church with them and they would never. But no man's mouth is a prayer book and we are all sinners. So again, we have some problems that are coming because we can't seem to acknowledge in ourselves that we are indeed a sinner and have no place telling another man how to be perfect. Reconciling myself is having the ability to look at the world around me and wonder what part of myself the world needs most. Before we can continue this conversation, we must know that the topics are going to become extremely uncomfortable. It is necessary to prepare as warriors with the skill and knowledge to face the evil in this world. These hoes in my head are bouncing like we're at a rave in New Orleans in 1990. We need these bitches out here telling us that it doesn't have to be like this, because it doesn't. So together, we're going to take a little journey that'll help us swallow our pride so we can get to where we need to be. I've created platforms to interact on so that maybe we can spread the resources of knowledge and experience. It may not be everyone's ideal knight in shining armor, but at the end of the day, we need to change the way we see our world and our place in it, and that starts with knowledge. Once upon a time in my life, I had the benefit of having the wisest man in my life, my granddaddy. I love you, granddaddy. He suffered from insomnia most of my young life. I did too, even for someone so young. They just said it was my hyperactivity, and it really was. But what my granddad did with this opportunity gave us both with this opportunity of us both being awake while the rest of the world was asleep, was to include me in his favorite hobbies. Some nights we carved out wood. Some nights we grinded and polished rocks into gems. Tonight we might fix some plumbing in the house. I loved him. He wasn't afraid to talk to me as if I had already attained grown people's understanding of the world. I was his bestie. Someone to share all of his favorite things with. The one thing he preached to me about lessons he had learned from life was that the one thing no one could ever take from me was the information I put in my brain for storage. I never fully understand this because I looked at the world through the sheltered lens of life that he and Maman had provided for me. No one was prosecuted to the extent that they had to protect their knowledge in the face of control. In other words, I believe that we as a society had surpassed the point of frivolously locking up people to the point of stripping everything from their lives except the knowledge they had stored away to build back with. Boy, was I wrong. Later on in my journey into becoming grown, I met a man. Of course I had to fall in love with said man. He was all the things I needed to grow in myself. This has been a very ugly process of coming down off of my high horse. His was a process of showing me rather than telling me. With him, I ventured into all the places deemed as the algae of our community, the places no dignified man should ever venture into. To have conversations with the very people who were supposed to be the monsters. My husband was a self-proclaimed monster of society. He was always labeled as the bad guy. We all pointed our fingers and said he was what was wrong with our society and our community. But the man I saw was built from the actions needed to overcome trauma caused by a society so complacent as to fully trust the uniform that a child could be a monster, and quick to point the finger at the bad guy in hopes that no one finds out the secrets of our sins. These two men have affected my experiences in this world, neither really wanting me to fly far from the nest just to keep me safe. I've come to the point where I'm no longer asking permission. I know that the ugly of this world is out here waiting for the perfect opportunity to pounce. If I don't leap now, then I will forever remain in turmoil within myself, not allowing the peace I do desperately search for. I went back to my hometown in Baton Rouge, summer before last, flying cotton candy on the side of Sherwood and College and Corsi like a crackhead. I found love from a community like I have not experienced in all the communities that I visited, a collective support of the human through the struggle. The only way to describe it is a collective vibe. The label I have given it, though, is love. I felt the love of an entire community. I had fun in this position that I was in. I was supported by my fellow man, strangers, so that I might survive the struggle that I was facing. It wasn't a burden, but a time that we shared in the loving vibration from God Himself. Through which forever changed the potential that I found in my fellow man. Gangsters of all ages respected the hustle, and more importantly, respected the pass down of hustle, showing my future men how to stand with pride in the face of the collective judgment, knowing that if we just kept at it every day, that we would truly become the captains of our own destiny. Those people in the community that we've been told to attribute no thinking process nor respectful actions as a bona fide human being came with respect and compassion, filling my confidence that better days were coming, consoling me in my time of self-doubt and sorrow for my circumstances. Those who identify as square respected the innovative solution to my obstacle as I stood there for their critique, because we're all taught about first impressions. Not that my square class wasn't laden with mouthy women. Sorry, not that my square class wasn't laden with mouthy women standing first in line to throw rocks my way. My first impression for those brave enough to begin a conversation with me about my situation gave them an impression that was at minimum unique. Once there was a man who came to personally tell me that he had originally passed us, but felt in his heart that God had told him to come back and buy some cotton candy. He felt some type of way about what he presumed our circumstances were, and none of it was good or honorable. We thanked the man for listening to the voice of God telling him to turn back, because it was our prayer every day that God talked to the hearts of his followers and asked them to support our causes. He was just God's confirmation to us that he was indeed listening to our prayers. The man stood there after picking his jaw up off the ground. The person didn't quite match the assumption. He left our encounter with a new perception on who God talks to and who talks to God. By no means did this encounter change the man's thoughts about passing judgment. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm sure that he went back to the comfort of sizing people up and assuming that his judgment was golden. But life is not always what it seems, and people are definitely not. I can hear the trolls in the audience already beginning to defend the people in their life as good people. Let me remind everyone that once upon a time, we all thought that pastors and priests were the best men of God, that they would never fuck over the congregation. Then we have priests with SA scandals in the Catholic Church, and pastors crying on TV about how their sin was somehow better because you watched them cry about it. The true moral to this story is that we've been deceived and tricked through the course of our lives for generations to pass along the legacy of brainwashed indoctrination for the greater good of an invisible faucet who decides they can rule our lives. I'm not so open to the idea of being controlled. I feel as though my fellow community members are feeling the same strife. Why should we be prohibited from being our authentic selves in the name of freedom? Why can't the trolls and Karens mind their own business and stop minding mine in order to make themselves feel better about being a fucked up sinner just like me? We were all created to be the best friend to God in every religious factor. It is when we befriend man first that we find corruption and evil. Judgment was never meant to be for man. We're supposed to remain humble about our achievements, kind and loving to our fellow humans, for we know not the struggles that lie within the journey of a man. I hope that you liked today's episode. It has taken me a really long time to post these. Even now, I'm full of anxiety and nervousness. So just hit the follow button, turn on your notifications, because next week's episode is amazing. And you're gonna want to stay tuned for this conversation, because the longer it goes on, the better it's going to get.